Italian, speaking of the murderers and of the allomancers the citizen retained. Spook didn't spread the rumors that Quellian was himself an allomancer. He let Breeze do that more carefully. That way it wouldn't look like Spook was too eager to set the man up.
To the survivor!
Spook looked up, holding his mug of wine, smiling as the bar patrons cheered.
To the survivor,
another said, pointing at Spook.
Survivor of the flames!
To the death of the citizen,
Dern said, raising his own mug, though he rarely drank from it.
Down with the man who said he'd let us rule, then took it all for himself!
Spook smiled, taking a drink. He hadn't realized how exhausting it could be to simply sit around and speak to people. His flared pewter kept his body's weariness at bay, but it couldn't prevent the mental fatigue. I wonder what Beldra would think if she saw this, he thought. The men cheering me. She'd be impressed, wouldn't she? She'd forget about how I droned on about how useless I was. Perhaps the visits to the bars had been fatiguing simply because he had something else he wished he could be doing. It was silly. She was his captive. He'd betrayed her trust. She was obviously just warming up to him in an effort to get him to let her go. Yet he couldn't help thinking back to their conversation, going over it again and again in his mind. Despite the stupid things he'd said, she'd laid her hand on his arm. That meant something, didn't it?
You all right? Dern asked, leaning in. That's your 10th mug tonight.
I'm fine, Spook said.
You were looking a little distant there.
I have a lot on my mind, Spook said. Dern leaned back, frowning, but didn't say anything more. Some things about his conversation with Beldra bothered Spook, even more than his own stupid comments. She seemed to really be worried by the things that her brother had done. When Spook himself was in power, would she see him as she did Quellian? Would that be a bad thing or a good thing? She already said they were similar.
Power can be a terrible thing.
He looked up, glancing at the people of the bar as they cheered him again, just as the men had in the other bars. Kelsier had been able to handle adulation like this. If Spook wanted to be like Kelsier, then he'd have to deal with it as well, right? Wasn't it a good thing to be liked? To have people willing to follow him? He could finally break away from the old Spook. He could stop being that boy, the one so insignificant and easily forgotten. He could leave that child behind and become a man who was respected. And why shouldn't he be respected? He wasn't that boy anymore. He wore his bandages across his eyes, heightening his mystical reputation as a man who did not need light to see. Some even said that anywhere that fire burned, Spook could see.
They love you, Kelsier whispered. You deserve it.
Spook smiled. That was all the confirmation he needed. He stood, raising his arms before the crowd. They cheered in response. It had been a long time coming, and it felt all the sweeter for the wait.
Preservation's desire to create sentient life was what eventually broke the stalemate. In order to give mankind awareness and independent thought, Preservation knew that he would have to give up part of himself, his own soul, to dwell within mankind. This would leave him just a tiny bit weaker than his opposite, Ruin. That tiny bit seemed inconsequential compared with their total vast sums of power. However, over eons this tiny flaw would allow Ruin to overcome Preservation, thereby bringing an end to the world. This, then, was their bargain. Preservation got mankind, the only creations that had more preservation than Ruin in them, rather than a balance. Independent life that could think and feel. In exchange, Ruin was given a promise and proof that he could bring an end to all they had created together. It was the pact. And Preservation eventually broke it.
54. When Vin awoke, she was not surprised to find herself bound. She was surprised to feel that she was wearing metal manacles. The first thing she did, even before she opened her eyes, was reach inside for her metals. With steel and iron, perhaps she could use the manacles as weapons. With pewter, her metals were gone. She kept her eyes closed, trying not to display the panic she felt, thinking through what had happened. She'd been in the cavern, trapped with ruin. Ellen's friend had come in, given her the wine, and she'd taken it, gambled. How long had it been since she'd fallen unconscious?
"Your breathing has changed," a voice reported. "You are obviously awake."
Vin cursed herself quietly. There was a very easy way to take away an allomancer's powers, easier even than making them burn aluminum. You just had to keep them drugged long enough for them to pass the metals through their body. As she thought about it, her mind shrugging off the effects of extended sleep, she realized this was what must have happened to her. The silence continued. Finally, Vin opened her eyes. She expected to see cell bars. Instead, she saw a sparsely furnished utilitarian room. She lay on a bench, head cushioned by a hard pillow. Her manacles were connected to a chain several feet long, which was in turn locked to the base of the bench. She tugged on the chain carefully and determined that it was very well affixed. The motion drew the attention of a pair of guards who stood beside the bench. They jumped slightly, raising staffs and eyeing her warily. Vin smiled to herself. Part of her was proud that she could evoke such a response even when chained and metalless.
"You, Lady Venture, present something of a problem,"
the voice came from the side. Vin raised herself up on one arm, looking over the bench's armrest. On the other side of the room, perhaps 15 feet away, a bald figure in robes stood with his back to her. He stared out a large window facing west, and the setting sun was a violent crimson blaze around his silhouette.
"What do I do?"
Yeoman asked, still not turning toward her.
"A single flake of steel, and you could slaughter my guards with their own buttons. A taste of pewter, and you could lift that bench and smash your way out of the room. The logical thing to do would be to gag you, keep you drugged at all times, or kill you."
Vin opened her mouth to reply, but all that came out was a cough. She immediately tried to burn pewter to strengthen her body. The lack of metal was like missing a limb.